Last week? The last week, yeah. So this is what we started working with last week. I just need to get down more sharing as well. Hey, Moshe, you want to listen to the shiur? Okay, good. So these are the makoros we started working with. So it's dealing with, you'll use your Gemara and the sheaf. But the Gemara that we'll be using, so we're still dealing with this question of what is the Kedusha of a Petach Chamor? What does it mean that the value has Kedusha? How does that impact the Machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and so on? And it starts with the Gemara on Daf Tes Amud Beis. Where when there's a sophic, so the Mishnah on Daf Tes Amud Aleph spoke about when there was a sophic. So for example, there was a zocher and a keva. The animal had a male and a female child, and we don't know which one was born first. If it was the male, then that's a bechor. If it wasn't, then it isn't. So the din there is that you mafrish a tzleh, you've got to set aside a sheep, but you don't have to give the sheep to the kohen. The sheep remains the property of the owner, and then the donkey can be used. And then the Gemara asks four lines from the top on Daf Tes Amud Beis. You got that, Philip?
Yeah.
The kivan de la atzmohu lamali lafrushi. If he's keeping it in any case, what is the role of the safrosha? What are you actually doing? So you've got an animal which might or might not be a bechor. So I understand. So it's a sofek. Since it's a sofek, we've said that in bechor there's a din momenus and there's a din kodshim. So the momenus, there's a financial aspect of it, which is the kohen has financial rights to that animal. But now we don't know whether the kohen has financial rights to the animal. So it's a momen hamusel besofek. This is a doubt. And the din is hamotz nechavir al avarayin. Unless the kohen can prove that the male animal was born first, he can't claim his rights to it. Fine, I get that. But what's the point? What charade is this of taking the animal? So nothing goes onto the mizbeach. Nothing goes to the kohen. Nothing happens. Just that you're setting aside a lamb. Why? Says the Gemara, la'afkui le'isuri mineh, because that takes the isur out of the lamb, out of the donkey. So there's actually isur in that donkey, so to say. There's some form of kedusha. Now we know that it's kedushas momen, it's not kedushas guf. It's the value has kedusha, but it's like a real kedusha, so that it makes the donkey also. I thought you were traveling this week.
5 a.m, but I didn't want to miss.
Oh, so. That's nice. That's
good. And I haven't packed. So we'll deal with all that after.
That's okay. You'll have plenty of time to pack. The only show is whether you'll have time to sleep.
What says you're on the plane? I haven't talked about being this weekend, have you?
No.
Stay up.
Okay. Did you bring the sheet with you from last week?
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'll print it.
Yeah. No.
Okay. So, but we're still in the Gemara of Tes Amud Beis.
Is that because the Kedusha's Doraita and Safek Doraita is the Chumrah? So that.
Yes, so we've got to worry about.
So the Mamunus use the Kula because Amotsuch Rarava Arai, let the Kohen come and prove that it's
totally right.
The Bechor, and the Kochim is Doraita.
It's a Safek Doraita and the Chumrah, so you can't use the animal. The animal's also. So you've got to do something. Now, what do you do? Now you're in a strange situation because the thing you do to make the donkey mutter is you put it with a lamb and you give a lamb to the kohen. That's what you do.
Mm.
So we can't do the second part. We can't give the lamb to the kohen. We could, but you don't have to. So you can be put there. So we're actually splitting the padiyah. We're saying the act of setting aside a lamb is already the padiyah. That patters the donkey. Now the kohen has a claim on the lamb. Kohen doesn't really have a claim on the donkey. The Kohen has a claim on the lamb once the lamb is set aside. And the beauty of this whole sugya is this separating out of the donkey and its value. And the lamb represents its value because the lamb is the currency. The lamb is what you're giving to the Kohen. So
you set it out for yourself, set it aside for yourself, and then you can eat it?
Yes, and then everything's mutter. Then everything's mutter. is what I think Rashi said on the Mishnah.
Yeah.
Mafrish tlem lishim sofet.
Yeah.
Umafkia alof kedushas petach hamoy. Vehu latzma shu batzma yerchel atzlem. Velo yitnenu lekoyen. The koyen havi moitzim chaver v'alav arayim. And he can do it. He can do it. It's like a.
And this kedusha just disappears into the world.
Where does the kedusha go? Yeah. What happens to the kedusha? It's the act of pedia. It's so interesting. And this might be when we get to all the dinim of a bechor behemah tzahira. It might be very different.
Mm.
But in the bechor behemah tzmeah, and this din with the donkey, it's the maaseh of pedia. Doing that action releases the kedusha from the chamor. And then step two, Kohen has a financial claim on the tzle.
So if we can prove with Shmita, we felt it very strongly. Is that Shmita, the you poide the Shmita, the
and the Padilla makes a
it. Whatever you, no, the money becomes kaddosh, and whatever you do with that money,
it follows
around. It keeps.
Yeah, but
Kedusha
here it
never disappears.
But here it doesn't. Here the Kedusha has disappeared.
Yeah, which is
in this case the Kedusha kind of disappeared. So says the Gemara, "Matnit mani Rabbi Yehuda." So we must certainly say the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, "Petach hamor osu bahano." So you've got to say that we learn in Rabbi Yehuda holds that there is this form of kedusha. Yes, it's kedushas domin. It's only the kedusha of the value of the chamor. It's not the body of the chamor that has this kedusha, but still the value has kedusha and therefore makes the donkey osu until you've removed that kedusha from the donkey. But Rabbi Shimon holds it doesn't have kedusha to start with. The donkey is not also bahano. Then the Gemara goes on. So based on that, the Rosh kind of causes a bit of a stir, and that's the first piece on the. So that's the Rosh in his Psakim on Masechet Bechorus, and in Perek Aleph Siman Yud Aleph. He brings the Gemara and the Aftes that we've just learned. Mafrish tle v'hu la'atzmoy, v'kimen del atzmo hu lamali la'afrushe, la'afku yisuri mine. Alma, kol, so we see from here, this is now the Rosh. Alma, kol kama delo mafkia yisu mine, also ba'ano. So clearly from there, if you don't, this is still the Gemara. If you don't take the Isur away from the donkey, it is also Bahano. And therefore, Masnis in Mani Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya Petach Hamor also Bahano, Divra Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Matir. That's up till there is the Gemara. Now says the Rosh, V'halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, and the halach is like Rabbi Yehuda, that it's also Bahano. The Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Firstly, because in almost all cases of machlokes in between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, the halacha would be like Rabbi Yehuda. V'od disatam lantana kavate, and the Mishnah also takes it for granted that Rabbi Yehuda is the way to go. So that is the halacha. Uvein bahanat gufo, uvein bahanat damim, and you can't have benefit from this donkey before pedia, not from its physical being and not from its value. So you can't use its hair and you can't ride on it and you can't sell it, you can't do any of those things. So we're only going to deal tonight with the Hanat Damim piece. What does that mean really, that you can't have benefit from the financial value of the donkey? Kegon, de mazbin le leman de lo yada shu peta chamor. So now again, farmer has a donkey, a she donkey. The donkey has a baby, has a calf. The calf is a bechor. The farmer takes the bechor and sells it to another farmer without telling him that it's a bechor. Because shaka minei keneged kua, and the donkey, let's say, is worth $100, and he takes a full $100 from the fellow farmer. So the donkey is now in the hands of somebody who doesn't even know it's a bechor, and all he's got now is the money. Gosh, I just fell off the line. You back on?
No, sorry about that.
Okay. So, and he takes the full $100. That's an example of Isur Momon, so that money is not permitted. Because he's got in that $100 is the value of the donkey, and that donkey is a bechor, and there was no pedia, so there's kedusha attached to that value, and he can't use that money. Aval, le mishkal minei mai de shavi tfei mise katan. Shalokar zakut lifroa alav damim, shafir dami. But there's a way out. What he could do is he could say, the din is, if I use money or anything else to be poder the lamb, the donkey, which I can do, I've got to use, it's got to be the full value. So I've got to, if the donkey is worth $100, I've got to give the kohen $100. The Torah says I can use a seh, I can use a lamb. What value lamb? The Torah doesn't say. So we say it doesn't matter what value lamb. It's lamb for donkey. It's either money, in which case it's got to be value for value, or it's lamb for donkey. And therefore, if the donkey is worth $100, and the cheapest lamb on the market is $10, and I sell it to the next door farmer for $90, what's happened now? I have not had hana from the kedushas damim of the bechor, because the kedushas damim of the bechor is only that ten dollars. This should be easy for you. You're in the accounting business. This should be a walkover for you.
You have to.
Are you legal or accounting?
As a lawyer.
Are you law? Then this will be as hard for you as it is for us.
Is the assumption that you've told the guy that you sold yeah. why you sold it for 90?
Yes. So it seems so. No, I just keep taking off and Moshe keeps dropping off.
But by telling him, I'm not sure if that changes the status in any way. Like whether he knows or not.
So that's a big issue. We're gonna see between the Beis Yosef and the Rosh. But from the Rosh it seems, he says the way that it doesn't work is if the buyer doesn't know and you've sold the full amount. So it seems almost that the two have to be there. But if you've taken less, although in the second part he doesn't say you have to tell the buyer, the buyer, do you? It just says, Aval mishkal mine maida shavi tfei mise katan shalokeh zakuch lifro alav damim shapir damim. Almost seems from the, if you just look at the words of the Rosh, he doesn't even have to know. If you just take $10 less, then he's not being nehneh from the value of the kedusha portion of the value. He's not being nehneh. That's what the Rosh says.
It's amazing that you can get benefit from the donkey, from the value of the donkey. You can't get benefit from the
value of the redemption, which you would have to give to the Kohen.
Yes,
I don't understand how that is the equivalent of not taking benefit from.
So take a step back. So the din is that the petach chamor is also bahano.
So you can't use it.
Yeah, why
you
not?
Can't use it here because it's holy.
Because you haven't redeemed it yet.
And therefore, there is a part of its value that isn't yours.
Mm-hmm. I'd say 100% of it isn't yours until you've redeemed it.
No, because you don't have to give it to the Kohen, and you could redeem it with a cheap lamb.
And particularly because also according to Rabbi Huda, even if it was Sofek, you couldn't do anything with it either.
Yeah, but the reason you can't do anything with it is because you can't separate the value out. You can't say, I'm using this piece, so I'm not using that piece. So you can't use it, because in whatever you're using of it, you're using a part of the value. It's an element which is the value that is also. Yeah. But it's only a part of the donkey of the value of the donkey that is also. Because if it was the whole, then you would have to give the Kohen the whole value of the donkey, which you don't have to do.
Yeah.
The lechatchila, the din, and the Torah is you just give a seh of any value. So the cheapest seh is the amount that you're not allowed to benefit from in the chamor. It's not the chamor you're not allowed to benefit from, it's the value of the cheapest seh, that is kodesh, that you can't do.
So the kohen actually doesn't get anything in this
whole In this case, the kohen gets nothing. In this case, the kohen gets nothing. The balabait keeps everything, but he has to do this action of pediah in order to be matir the chamor. So what it teaches us is it's not the transfer of kedusha from one to the other. The Padiya releases Kedusha from the Chamor. Now there's a second din, the Kohen has a right to the Seh. That's the second din.
So if he took a Seh and set it aside, he would have to give that to the Kohen.
If it wasn't a Sofek.
If it wasn't a Sofek.
Yes.
But in this case, he's avoiding that completely. He's
yes. Well, he's not avoiding it. It's the circumstances avoided because it's a Sofek. So he has no obligation to give it to a Kohen because he doesn't even know that it's money.
No, but that's if it's a Sofek. But in this case, it's not
a Sofek. Yeah. Oh, in a normal case, yeah. In a normal case, yeah. He sells it to his mate.
Yeah.
Less the value of the lamb, because the mate now has to be poide and give it to the Kohen.
Yes, of course.
So ultimately that value will go to the Kohen. The important thing is that the first owner isn't benefiting from the full value of the chamor. So it's interesting, in the case of the chamor, that's all Hashem wants, is that you just that you understand there's a part of it that isn't yours. Not that the chamor is not yours, there's a part of it that isn't yours. Different from a behemoth tahira. Different. It's the same, that gives us a bit of insight into the pidyon habein of a human being. It's not to suggest that a human being is worth 30 sloim. It's just representative of the fact that there is something in this person that isn't yours. And will be the within. So now look at the tur. The tur is now the son of the Rosh, right? So the Rosh is a Talmud of the Maharam Rutenberg, which is where the Ashkenazi tradition really starts from, the halachic Ashkenazi tradition really, if we trace it back to the where we can trace it in writing, it's the Maharam Rutenberg. And the Maharam Rutenberg had various different Talmudim who are the pillars of Ashkenazi halacha. And the Rosh is one of those Talmudim. So the Rosh is really important for us. The Rambam is a Sfaradi tradition. It's a different tradition. But the Rosh's tradition is very important for us. And the Tur then takes the Rosh. The Rosh writes on the Gemara. So at the end of every Masechta, you've got Rosh. He doesn't reclassify it by subject matter, but the Tur does. We kind of credit the Shulchan Aruch with the idea of Aruch Chaim and Ebenezer and Yerodeh and Chosh Mishpat. But it wasn't the Shulchan Aruch, it was the Tur, who first divided all of Halacha into these categories and then took the Psakim of the Rosh and the Rambam and the Rif and repackaged them in this new order, in this new system. So the Tur brings Yisrael Shepodeh Petech Hamor Shel Chaveiro Hu Patui Ufetech Hamor Hu Lebalav. If a Yisrael does the Pidyon for his friend, so I come along and I say, I know, I mean, that your donkey has just had a baby, you've got a calf there, the calf is a bechor. I'm giving this lamb to the Kohen so that you don't have to worry about it. So it's basically, I'm gifting it to you in that way. You don't have to worry. My lamb now goes to the Kohen. It's a pidyon for your chamor. Your chamor is now free to you. That's okay. We can do that. Peter, then he goes on. Peter chamor yachol lemochro kodem sheyivdenu. Can you sell a peter chamor before you've done pedia? What is the question?
Does it belong?
Yeah, do you have ownership? What is the nature of ownership that you have in an animal which is partially belongs to Hashem, to the Kohen, however we want to see it? What kind of ownership? Can you sell it?
Is it only a question of ownership, or is it also a union of Hana here as well?
Well, the Hano is part of it, and we'll come to it as well. But the beginning, the question of can you be Mocher at all? Can you trade in this? Does this have tradable value? The answer is yes. You can trade in Peter Chamors. So you could have an insurance company that insures all the farmers that whenever you have a Peter Chamor, we'll pay you X amount. So you won't have to worry about Pidyon and all, but you give us the Peter Chamor, and they can arbitrage and they can make a profit. It's fine. You can trade in a peter chamor. No problem. Uvilvad shiyodia lelokeach shu peter chamor. But there is a condition. Now, this we didn't see clearly in the Rosh. The Tur seems to see this in his father's words, or he's putting it in himself, on condition that the buyer knows that this is a peter chamor.
Yeah, because I would say at the end of the day, you do have to make sure that value gets back to the right place, is something that David was speaking about.
Which is ultimately to the Kohen.
To the Kohen, it's somehow out of this whole thing, the Kohen doesn't come out without his...
Without his share.
Without his share.
So, okay, so we've got to tell him this is a Peter Chamor. V'hu yifdenu, and you need to be poedet. So I'm going to give it to you at a discount because you still have to be poedet. Afa pisha lokeach lo yifdenu ele b'seh kolshu, even though the buyer will probably use or might well use the cheapest seh on the market. V'zeh yimkirenu lo b'shovyo b'damim merubim chutz michdeh demeh haseh. And the first farmer might sell the donkey at a very high price, but discount the value of a cheap lamb. Shall kol shehu, whatever that amount is, shetzarich liftoto bo. So in such a situation, you can do the sale. Afilu haki kol ma sheshaveh yeter al se kol shehu mutar bahana. All the money that this donkey was worth more than the lamb is mutar bahana, because that was never also. Aval im mecharo b'shovyo l'mi she'eino yodeh shu petach hamor. But if you sold it at full value to somebody who doesn't know that it's a petach hamor, she'eino podehu, and this other person is not going to be podeh, hadomei masurim. Then the money is also, you can't use any of the money. You can't say, well, I'll put aside part of it, I'll just use the 90, but I won't use the 10. You can't use any of it, says the Torah. So the condition is, you've got, when you sell it, you've got to
reduce the price
and tell him that he'll do this, so that he'll do it. Seem to be the two conditions.
So you sell it at full price, and then he acquires the obligation to provide the lamb.
No, but you can never take the full price, even though he requires the obligation to do it. According to the Tur and the Rosh, it would seem that you can't take the full price at all.
Because you can't sell something.
Okay, because otherwise the second guy would be getting whatever it is with the obligation, and he's actually paying for the full.
Yes, then the first guy then is getting benefit from an unpoided.
Yeah, it's like an unjustified enrichment.
But unless he agrees to it, if he agrees to.
So that's the question. Is this just about mominous, and if he agrees that it's okay, or do we say no? The fact that you haven't taken it off, it's like before you've taken maaser from food. The whole thing is also until you've done the pedia, the whole thing is also.
But if he says, I'll do it, I want the mitzvah, I really want the mitzvah, I'm prepared to pay a premium on that.
So that's in the buyer, in the actual buyer. But
go ahead.
From the perspective of the seller, the whole essence of it is he's acknowledging that part of it doesn't belong to him and he has to be voided. So if he's going to sell it at the full value, full face value, he's not acknowledging, he's almost not acknowledging it, because he hasn't taken the bit that he needs to away from it to show that, you know, something more still needs to be done.
Yeah, the problem is the seller. There's not the buyer. The problem is the first seller. The first seller gets full benefit. She's being there and in a
This is also dependent on that there's some sort of a fixed price.
Yeah.
Yes, we're assuming that we can establish market prices, and
because
we know
if there's no market price, then
Let's look at the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef is now Rabbi Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, writing on the Torah. Before he writes the Shulchan Aruch, he does a parish on the tour, called the Beis Yosef. And he says, Petach hamor mutar lamochor kodim sheyifdenu, uvilvad sheyodia lelokeach. That's quoted from the tour. Sham, that comes from the Gemara and Daftes. Petach hamor osu ba'anov, Rabbi Shimon Matir. Ramrinam b'gemora sham, daf yudam udbeiz, depligi ben ba'anaz domov ben ba'anaz gufo, u'mashmahat ham dehalacha katana kama v'chem pasku ha'rambam v'harosh, v'chatav od harosh. Behindu dafka hanat damav kagon de mazbin lei leman de lo yada shu petach hamor. This that the money is also to him is if he sells it to somebody who doesn't know that it's a petach hamor. Vekashakil minei keneged kulo, and he takes full value from the buyer. Aval lemishkal minei mai de shavi tvei mishse katan, shalukel zakuk lifroa alav damim, shapir dami. But if he reduces the price by the amount of the cost of a little lamb, which the buyer is going to have to acquire in order to do the pidyon, then everything's kosher. He's reduced the price. That means he hasn't benefited from the value of a petach hamor. The buyer does the pidyon. The kohen gets the seh. Everybody's happy.
But the buyer have to know, though.
Yes, the buyer would have to know. Ad kana shonu. Umitoch dvarav nireh. And from, if you look carefully at the words of the Rosh, it would seem, that if he sells it to somebody knowing that it is a petach hamor, the buyer knows it's a petach hamor, afilu natan lo kol demesh of your legamri, hakol mutar. So this comes onto what you were saying, David, earlier. What happens if he says to the buyer, here's my donkey, it is a bechor. It isn't, I've not been poideh yet. It's worth, as a donkey, a full donkey, it's worth 100. But you're going to have to spend at least 10 on a seh. And the buyer says, don't worry, it'll be my pleasure to spend 10 on the seh and to be mekayim in the mitzvah of a petach hamor. No problem. He says the Beis Yosef. This is the first time we have it. This is in the Beis Yosef. It's not in the Tur, and it's not in the Rosh, although he deduces it from the Tur. The Kivan Shalokeach Yodea Shitzarich Liftoto Beseh Al Kochach Lomar Delididei Shavile Kol Adamim Shenatan Begam Demei Haseh Shitzarich Liftoto Bo. The way we interpret this is what he is saying, the buyer is saying, so to you it's only worth 100 less 10 for the lamb, but to me it's worth 110. This animal is worth 110 to me. So by buying it 100, I've already got my discount. So what the Beis Yosef is saying is here is the value is determined by the buyer, not the seller. Mm. So this is an old commercial issue. What really determines the market? Is it that the level at which the last deal was done? Or is it at the bidding price? Or is it at the offering price? Says the Beis Yosef, it's at the bidding price. If somebody is willing to pay 110, is willing to pay 100 for something that he still has to pay another 10 on, then to him it's worth 110. For whatever reason.
So according to this, it's actually a misnomer to think that the issue is around reducing the price. The issue is actually just that the buyer needs to know that it's a bechor animal. But when it said that the price must be less, there's only one way of informing the buyer that it's a bechor animal. I'm sending it to you for 90 because you should know this thing needs to be done. But we see that even if you sold it full price, as long as the buyer knows, so you could then take.
Yes, but go a step further. Why? Because what we're saying is, to the buyer, it's worth 110. So it's still the discounting. You've always got to discount the set.
It wasn't for the Rosh and the Tur, the Inyan is dafka on the seller.
We'll go back to the Rosh and Tur in a moment, but in the Beis Yosef, what the Beis Yosef is saying, so if I say to you, Ilan, this donkey's worth 100, but you've still got to spend 10 on a set. So it's really only worth 90. And if you would say, that's fine, I'll pay you 100. What you really are saying, to me, it's worth 110.
I understand. There still has to be a difference. You've got to take off something in the price.
There's got to be a discount.
The question is, the same price as the full amount. The point is, in the calculation of the price, there must be
a discount.
Taking into account a discount.
And according to the Beis Yosef, the calculation is made by the buyer, not the seller.
There's still the discounts as
well. In the buyer's mind, he says, this to me is worth. So always in a transaction, there's a value differential between the buyer and the seller. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a sale, isn't that so? The buyer's willing to sell for 1,000, and the seller's willing to sell for 1,000, and the buyer is willing to pay 1,000, then to the buyer, it must be worth more than 1,000. Otherwise, why would he pay 1,000 for 1,000? You only buy something when you believe that for your own purposes, this is worth more to me than the cost that the other person's asking. So there's always a differential in a transaction.
Maybe it's worth exactly.
But then you're just exchanging thing for thing. That's not really.
I need a donkey.
You need, and the key's worth 100, but you need it. Your need makes it worth more than 100 to you. Okay, so that's what makes it worth. That's what makes you buy it. You don't buy something. You don't just move stuff around for no benefit. There's always going to be a value added.
The market price for the lamb is 10.
Right.
Established and set. So why would the seller ever not just do it himself if he's going to have to forego 10 to the buyer anyway?
He's going to have to discount. It might be the trouble of doing it. He doesn't have lambs. The other farmer's got handy lambs. There could be all sorts of reasons. Just it's more convenient for him to do it this way. But that's what the interesting thing in the Beis Yosef, though. Beis Yosef says he sees this in the Tur. I'm not so sure that I see it in the Tur. But the Beis Yosef says he sees it because he says, when we talk to Rav Nireh, so that you don't have to discount it off the price you want. All you've got to be sure is that the buyer knows that there's still another $10 to be paid.
Isn't it that he sees it in the Rosh? He says, the Ketav Od HaRosh. And then he says Matoch Dabar.
Ad Kan Lashono. Well, that's all of that is the two. Ad Kan Lashono is all the two. So the two says Bakatavo Da Rosh. Mainu Dafke Sham, he brings the Gemara, but Rabbi Shimon the Maran Big Gemara Sham, the Pligi Ben Mazdan Ben Mashmahatam Dalokat Tanakama, the Chem Pasuk Harambam VaHarosh. Sorry, David, you're completely right. He's talking about the Rosh. So in the Loshon of the Rosh, he wants to say, says the Beis Yosef, that as long as he knows, it's enough. Where do we see that in the Rosh? So it says the Rosh in the underlined part, because in the Rosh, what you can see from the Rosh, I see what the Beis Yosef is saying. What does the Rosh say? The way is that it's also is if the buyer doesn't know and you take the full amount. But if the buyer does know and you take the full amount, then it's okay, is the implication. Explains that Beis Yosef. Why? Because we're saying the buyer is discounting it in his mind. Mm. Yeah, that's where he gets it from. Okay. So you see from here how he learns, how the Beis Yosef learns the Rosh. Yeah, how carefully the Beis Yosef learns the Rosh and finds that Kiddush in the Rosh. Inami, or he'll say, Matanuhu di Yaivle, Otama Ota Yeterim, Velav Deme Petech Hamor Ninu, Shareyu Atid Liftoto. He's saying, you know what, I'm Mochel, you can have the, I'm not going to insist on the $10, I'm happy to pay the $10 myself, it's no problem. And he's therefore gifting that $10 to the seller. Either way is okay. In both cases, the buyer understands that he's really paying $10 less than the correct amount. Either because he's saying the correct amount is 110, I'm only paying 100, or he says, yeah, the correct amount is 100, and I should be paying 90, and I'm giving you the 100, that's, I'm being mochel the 100, but in terms of this transaction, I'm really paying only the 90. In either case, the buyer has not got his hands on the money of the value of the set.
At that point, if he hasn't done the pidyon yet, can the seller use the money? Or does he have to wait until the pidyon is done?
He can use the money already.
So he's removed the chiyuv from him. Now he's got the chiyuv.
I've no longer been dome, I've no longer been nene from Dmei Hekdesh, and I'm done. I'm through with this. So that the Beis Yosef is medayik that in the Rosh. So again, I want you to see the diuk in the Rosh, because what's important about this limud here is how they learn each other. So the Rosh says, "Behechi dami hanat damim," in the top paragraph, "Kegon demazbin le leman delo yada shupet echamor vekashakim minei keneged kulo." Two things have to be in place for it to be awesome. The buyer must not know, and the full value must have been paid. If either of those are absent, then it's mutter. So if the buyer doesn't know, but he doesn't take the full value, so that's fine. I mean, there's a problem. Is the kohen going to get his piece? And all that's a different issue. But as far as the seller's concerned, he's basically saying, I didn't take full value. So I'm not nehneh from Hekdesh. Not my problem what happens from here on. Is he a lifnei iver or all sorts of things? We can worry about that. But as far as the din of the Isur HaNor is concerned, he no longer has the Isur HaNor. What happens the other way around? The buyer does know, but he takes full value. He says to the buyer, this donkey's worth 100. You're still going to have to pay 10 for a set. And that's not my problem. If you want my donkey, you pay full value. And the buyer says, okay, I'll pay full value. Says the Beis Yosef, the Rosh seems to be saying, that's not awesome. And he gives the two reasons. Either in the mind of the buyer, there's a discount, different because he's valuing it different from the seller, or he's giving it away back as a gift. But in either case, that would be okay. Aval mi divrei rabbeinu, but from the tour, it doesn't appear so. Nireh she'afilu she'akone oto yodea shupet echamor, einu yachol lemochro lo b'chol shovyo. Where do we see that in the tour? Because the Torah says, "Petach hamor yachol lemochro kodim shifdenu v'ilvad shiyir v'adal lelokeach shu petach hamor v'hu yifdenu he must let the buyer know. Even though the buyer might use a cheap seh, and this guy is selling it a lot, but if you sell it for full value, that's also. So the Beis Yosef draws our attention to a machlokes between the Rosh and his son, the Tur, which we completely missed when we read. We just assumed the Tur was quoting the Rosh. And he almost does, but not quite. And so the Rosh, the Beis Yosef says, here we actually have a machlokes between the Rosh and the Tur. And then he adds, Rambam lo chilek bedavar el satan v'chatav she'im mecharov kodem pidyon dam avasurim. The Rambam says simply, you sell this the peta chamor before you've done pidyon, the money is also you're in trouble. You've lost everything. The money becomes also. So now we have three shittas, don't we? On the one extreme, we have the Rambam who says you basically can't sell. If you sell it, you lose everything. You don't have ownership over that money. You can't trade in it. We have the Rosh. We have the Rosh who says as long as the buyer knows, you can trade in it at full value. And we have the Tur who says you can trade in it, but not at full value, even if the buyer knows. Never at full value. Those are the three shittas that we have. So the Rambam I've quoted in the next piece. Petach hamor osu ba'ano ad shiyif. Yipadeh v'sev yimacharo chodim pidyon dama v'asurim. So how does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? So now we've got three poskim. He could go like the Tur, he could go like the Rosh, he could go like the Rambam. So without looking, what do you think, who's he likely to go like?
He's the Beis Yosef, so he's going to have to.
So the Beis Yosef, all the Beis Yosef did says was there's a machlokes between
the Rambam.
Why?
Because that's the Derek.
As far as the tradition, you'd go like the Rambam. So it's true that the Beis Yosef explained the machlokes Rosh and Tur, and probably said these Ashkenazim fathers and sons having arguments in the Sephardi world, that would never happen. The father says, the son does. We wouldn't have such a thing. Let's just go with the Rambam, where we have a very clear view. And so here in the next piece, you've got the Shulchan Aruch Psak. Petach hamor asur bahana ad sheyipadeh v'im becharo kodem pidyon damav asurim. That's it. Rambam, clear, absolute. So we see halacha coming down. You see halacha developing. Adds the Rambam.
Is there generally a view that they would follow, that halacha will follow what the Rambam has done because of the work that the Rambam had done to collate and dissect and distill?
No, because the Tur did that as well. So you've got the Tur on the one hand, built on the Rosh, but not only the Rosh. Mm. So the Tur brings the Rif and the Tur brings the Rambam. The Tur brings the main pillars of halacha and brings them together. And sometimes he comes to a decision and sometimes he doesn't. And you've got the Tur bringing it all together. And then when it comes to halacha, you've got the Rambam, you've got the Rif, and you've got the Rosh. And the Shulchan Aruch will generally paskin like the majority of those three. Okay. Of the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rosh. But very often will go like the Rambam. So here we've got a case where he clearly goes like the Rambam. Although the Rosh and the Tur go differently. And we don't have a Rif on Bechorot. So for halacha purposes, we've got a Ramban. But for halacha purposes, we've therefore only got the Rosh and the Tur and the Rambam to work with. But the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam for the reasons we've said. Now the Ramo adds. So the Ramo is the Ashkenazi thread in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch now is made up of Mechaber and Ramo. And whenever the Ramo feels that the Mechaber is paskening in a way which is specific to the Sephardi community, but wouldn't be in accordance with Ashkenazi tradition, he intervenes. And he has one of those cases. And he says, V'davka shemecharo stama. That is if he sold it without telling anybody what it is. Aval im hodi ola lokeach shu petech hamor. But if he told the buyer that it's a petech hamor, והוא מוכר לו מה ששווה יותר מהשסה שיפדה. And he only sells it for the amount more than the seh, damav mutarim, the rest of it is mutar. So who's the Ramo paskening like?
The Rosh.
like the Rosh. Is that right? That you need both conditions. You've got to tell him, and it must, and you only take a limited amount of the money. So he's paskening like the Rosh. Then damav mutarim. Now it seems also from the Ramo's wording that he's saying, you know, I
think it's a tour he goes wrong.
Because he's saying
say that it's more limited. The Rosh was more open.
Right, the Beis Yosef learnt in the Rosh that we can, as long as he knows.
Yeah.
The two said,
it's got to be less.
You've got to take, there's a mandatory thing as well. Absolutely right. So the Ramo is passing like the two.
Yeah.
But more than that, the Ramo seems to be saying also from his wording, V'davka shemecharo, is he's almost saying, but that's what the Rambam means too.
Mm.
When the Rambam says, Pedachom also ba'anolachi, but if imecharo kodim pidyon, damav asurim, that's davka shemecharo stam. That's if you did it without telling him anything. That's what the Rambam means. The Rambam
just—he
seems to be interpreting the Rambam because he doesn't say v'yesh omrim. He doesn't differ with the Shulchan Aruch. He basically says this, which the Shulchan Aruch has just brought, is from the Rambam, and that's right. However, that's only if he qualifies it, rather than completely disagrees with it. And even lechatchila, you can do that. It's not just b'dieved. There's nothing wrong with doing that, with taking the seh, the chamor, and you, maybe your next door farmer really wants a chamor very badly. His little kid has always wanted a chamor, and he says, "Look, here's your chance. You can have my chamor, but it's a bechor, and you're gonna have to do a peter, and I want full value." The guy says, "All right, for me, it's worth much more because it'll make my little kid happy. So I'm willing to pay more, so that he's able to make more money out of it. Maybe that's what he does. He can do it to chatchila. Nothing wrong with that," says the Rambam. Kach mashma b'tur, and he tells us that that's what the tur seems to imply, that it's mutzal chatchila. Where do we see that in the tur? Petzach hamor yachol lebochro kodim shiftenu. One may do it. Doesn't say if you did it, it's mutzal. He says yacholim kodim lebochro. You're allowed to do it. And that's how the Ramo paskens in the Shulchan Aruch. Now look at the Biur Hagra. The Biur Hagra in Sifkot Chof says, this V'dafka, this that the Ramo adds V'dafka, that's the Rosh. And he tells you from where the Rosh gets it. And we'll look at that in a moment. Aval haRambam mefarish kiferish Rashi Shem. Do you see that there? So is the Vilna Gaon learning there is a machloket between the Rambam and the Rosh, or that is they're explaining one on the other? So he's saying this, which the Ramo brings, is the Rosh. Aval haRambam, but the Rambam learns it differently. So according to the Vilna Gaon, these are two views. This is not just the Ramo's coming to... Yeah. It's a different view. So when the Ramo says B'dafke, he's basically saying, that's the Mechaber.
Yeah.
I agree with that Dafke if.
Yeah.
Right? He's not saying the Mechaber agrees with the Dafke if. The Vilna Gaon clearly holds that this is a machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ramo. Now let's look at where this comes from. So if you look in your Gemara on Daf Yud Amud Beis, and as I said to you last week, what I'm interested in, this is not just the content of what we're doing, but for you to get a mini piece we can just do in one shiur, we can get the whole development of halacha all the way down to the Vilna Gaon. So the piece of Gemara is about 13 lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Amud Beis. In the middle of the line, Hamakadish befetach chamor. Now, one of the ways we always test ownership and value is with kiddushin, because with kiddushin, when a man is makadish a woman, he's got to give her something that he owns, something of value that he owns. So we can always test ownership and value by whether it will work for kiddushin. It's one of the tests the Gemara always uses. So what happens if I'm a Kaddish Befetach Hamor? Now this Hamor has been born, and this farmer says, oh, I don't want the whole thing. I've got to buy a ring for my wife. I'll give her a donkey instead for this, my fiance. I'll give the color a donkey instead.
Good luck with that. Don't try that at home, folks.
He turns up at the chuppah, and the rabbi says, "Have you got a ring?" He says, "Well, not exactly." The rabbi says,
"Heavy carry on the thing, yeah,
yes, just a moment." In the nose of the
He says, "I've got a donkey." He says, "Fine, okay. How much is the donkey worth?" "It's worth a lot of money, $100." He says, "Well, that's okay." He says, "The rabbi, this is one thing. Better just mention it's a Petach Hamor." Now we've got it. What's the deal now? Eina Mekudeshet. If this wedding were to go through, the woman is not Mekudeshet. Why? What's wrong here?
It doesn't belong to him to give. But the thing is that there's a piece that does belong
there's
to him.
There's a piece that does belong
and
to him.
And he has given it. It seems that you can't separate it out. Unless he articulated
this. So let's have a look and see. Lema matnitin delok Rabbi Shimon. One thing is clear is this doesn't go like Rabbi Shimon. Because what did Rabbi Shimon say?
Said you can't deal with it at all.
No, what did Rabbi Shimon say? Tavtei Samad Aleph? Then it's mutter bahano. You've got full ownership. Yes. You've got full ownership. It's your donkey. You can do what you want with it. This is the din that you want to do padiyah, but otherwise you can do what you want with it and you can be Mekadosh a woman with it. So clearly this doesn't go like Rabbi Shimon. Omar Rav Nachman Amar Rabbi Baravu Allah Chararifu V'divri Akol. That's talking about when he brought this donkey. He didn't bring the donkey on its two legs. He brought the donkey on in a hearse with its head chopped off, and he said, we've done an arifa on a Petach Hamor, and that the meat is the... I'm using that as for the Kiddushin. And that's that is definitely also Bahano, according to Rabbi Shimon and according to Rabbi Yehuda. Ikedamri, but there's another way of learning it, and this is where we get interested. Hani mani lo Rabbi Yehuda b'lo Rabbi Shimon. The other way of learning this Mishnah is saying, interesting, eina mekudeshet, that's neither Rabbi Yehuda nor Rabbi Shimon. Because as you began to say, Lan, but that according to both of them, there's a part of it, at least a part of it, which is his. So something should work. E Rabbi Shimon tikdash bekule. If it's Rabbi Shimon, then the donkey's worth 100, then he's given her the value of 100. Maybe not the same as a Cartier ring, but still something. E Rabbi Yehuda, tikdash behachta beni beni. And if it's Rabbi Yehuda, she should at least be married with the differential. Okay, that's the differential. So what do we see from that? That according to Rabbi Yehuda, the differential belongs to him. It's just he can't access it until he's separated it out. But that differential belongs to him sufficiently to be able to give it to the woman as kiddushin. So yes, now she'll have to take it. She'll have to be pidya, but she'll still be left with $90 worth. That's how the Gemara ends.
It moves it so far away from being a quantitative item to something purely qualitative. The whole idea of something, you have something to show a prutta, is here is this item in its entirety that I can transfer to you. In this case, you're saying, here is this amorphous item,
I'm giving you a problem.
And somewhere within there
is the value I'm giving you. A piece of this you've got to give to the coin, but don't worry, there's plenty left for you. Okay, that's what we're saying. It would be like giving her an asset on which she still has to pay tax. You'd say, yes, there's tax owing on this asset, but when you've paid the tax, plenty left for you.
Do a house transfer.
Yeah, you do a house transfer, whatever it is. The full value is not going to be hers, but there's enough value that there is. That's the simple way of learning it. Mm-hmm. Do you notice anything in Rashi that is in any way different from the way we've just learned it? The Rashi of Beni Beni, which is the second last thin line. Now there's a word missing. You'll notice that the dalet and the chof, they kind of, there's a need to slightly fix the Rashi. So demechayim e nami, you can just add up the word e before the nami, is what the Rashita Mekubetzis does. Demechayim e nami osu. Sorry, demechayim e nami osu bahano matzi parikle Beser bar danka, just a seer just worth just a seela, vahashta mafsid hakol. Don't worry about the Vahashta Mafsid HaKol, because that part goes on a different Gemara. Just go on the definition of the of Beini Beini. The Mechaim, Inami also, even though Mechaim, clearly the donkey is also before the Arifa. Not only is it also Bahano after the Arifa, it's also Bahano before the Arifa. But nevertheless, Matsi Parikle Beseh Bar Danka. Here you'll see the subtlety that the Vilna Gaon picks up. Notice that the that Matsi Parikle Beseh Bar Danka is in the masculine. He could be poide, this donkey, with a seer worth a seela. And therefore there is value. In other words, he's saying, yes, I'm giving you this donkey worth 100. Right now it's also Bahano, but I can be poide it and then it's fine. Okay, so I'm giving you its potential value. So according to Rabbi Shimon, it's absolute value. It's muta b'hano, you can have it. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the way we learned it a few minutes ago, it's also absolute value. It's just packaged together with other stuff. I own $90 of this donkey. $10 is for pigeon. I'm giving the whole thing to you. You take care of the pigeon and keep the $90, which is mine. I'm not allowed to use it until we've given away this $10, but it's mine nevertheless. That's how we learned it. It's not quite how Rashi learned it. Rashi's saying
that he can.
I could do it. Don't worry about the fact that it's also Bano. I can do pigeon and then it'll be okay. I can do pigeon, not you.
So it's a future condition.
It's kind of like a future, isn't it? It's kind of a future. But what's the important part? What does Rashi change from the simple way of learning it?
He says, only he can
do it. Only I can do it. Why?
It seems to be that the capacity for fixing that problem is only with the person who had the problem originally. You can't pass on this problem, it would seem.
Right. Okay. So is it tradable or not tradable?
Well, it's not tradable.
It's not tradable.
Because you're passing on something that can only have value once you can fix the problem. The person that's getting it doesn't have capacity to fix the problem.
Yes. So therefore it's not tradable.
Exactly.
Since only the seller can fix the problem, I'm selling you something you're stuck with and can't ever use. Because the only person who could have fixed this problem was me, and it's no longer mine. And although the Rambam paskens that I can take the seer for a friend's thing as well, so I could still do it, but I don't have to do it anymore. And now it's yours and you've got it and you can't use it. So it's actually not really tradable. And the money I would get for selling it would be then?
Standard.
Also by no, isn't that right? Hmm. So do you notice that Rashi is aligned with the Rambam, not with the Rosh and the Tur? The Rosh and the Tur would learn the Gemara the way we learned it initially. She can take it, she can get rid of the thing and she's left with it. That's it, he's allowed it. Rashi is saying, no, he can do that. She can't do that. This is something that he would have to do. So look at the Vilna Gaon.
Would it be different in the case of a sale than in the case of a Kiddushin?
The difference would be, you're right, the difference would be in the case of the Kiddushin, I can still do it. I'm your husband now, so I can do it for you.
But you can't have a conditional.
No, it's not conditional. It's actually, no, you're right. It's not conditional. It's here is the seer, and since I'm able to release it from its kedusha by giving away the 90, I'll do that. That's part of what I'm doing and what I undertake to do here. Whereas the way we learned it, he doesn't even have to say that. He can just say, here's a seer, give me pay there, and the rest is yours. And so look at the Vilna Gaon. V'dafka, that's going on the Ramah. That's Harosh. And where does the Rosh get this from? It's all very well that the Beis Yosef says, I deduce in the Rosh that provided the other person knows the sale is a valid sale, right? That the Beis Yosef said, but the Beis Yosef didn't tell us, where does the Rosh get that from? Where in the Gemara do we see that? We see a Machlokes Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon says it's Mutar Bahano, Rabbi Yehuda says it's also Bahano. Clearly, if it's also Bahano, you can't sell it and not without taking without doing the pidyon. Says the Vilna Gaon, Mimashi Katav Tikdosh to Beni Beni. He gets it from this Gemara here, from Kedushin. And he learns Beni Beni Umefarish Kepashta. He learns Beni Beni the way we just learned it when we started off. She can take it as a differential, and that's the value he's giving her, and she can take the value. There's no issue in trading. Aval Rambam Mefarish Kepesh Rashi Sham. But the Rambam understands Beni Beni the way Rashi does, and that's why the Rambam comes out the way he does. And that's so the Vilna Gaon in these. And if you look at how many words here are there in this Vilna Gaon, there's probably two or three words that are his. Harosh is not his. Mimashi Kasuv Tikdosh de Beini Beini. Umefarish is his Kepashta. Umefarish Kepashta is the Vilna Gaon's word. Aval is the Vilna Gaon's word. That's three. Harambam Mefarish is four. Kepesh Rashi. It's four words that the Vilna Gaon uses here to explain the whole machlokes. Rambam and two verses Shulchan Aruch and two verses Turin and Rosh on the other hand, and how in the Shulchan Aruch he brings the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam who goes according to Rashi, but the Ramor paskins like the Rosh and the Tur who learn the Gemara Kepashta.
So the Rash is based on the word matzi, that it's masculine and not,
yeah,
and not feminine.
I struggled for hours with this Rashi.
Because to see where it is in the Rashi, that's
I struggled
that's
for hours.
I mean,
the,
I mean, doesn't the
apart from the time I said I was running all the way to Yerushalayim today and all the way from Yerushalayim today, I was struggling in my maybe that's why I got caught for a second. I shouldn't have been doing that while I was driving. All the way there and all the way back, trying to work out what does the Vilna Gaon see in this Rashi? What is this? How do you see in this Rashi that this is Shitas HaRambam? And the only thing I can notice is that he puts it on the man, not on the woman, meaning that you can't transfer that, which is the way the Rambam would be learning. So
with the case of the man using this thing for Kedushin, he gives the woman the whole package. And now she's got to deal with this thing, and she can't because it's not her. Only he had capacity to deal with this problem. With the case of a buyer and a seller, when you specify to the buyer, I'm only selling you the piece which is not problematic. So actually, according to the way that the Rambam's learning, according to Rashi, you can't even do that. You can't sell a piece of it.
You could in normal cases if Kedusha wasn't involved there.
Yeah.
But with Kedusha involved, you can't separate the Kedusha out.
Because you're the only person that can
So we know it. That's true in Kedusha's Haguf. In Kedusha's Haguf, you can't separate out the Kedusha and say, this part of the animal is Kodesh and this part of the animal is not. Every molecule of the animal has that Kedusha in it. What we didn't know is what's the story with value when it's a commercial Kedusha. Can you separate it out? Because commercial is quantitative. So if it's quantitative, can't you just chop it up and work with it with specific quantities? Says the Tur and the Rosh, yes, you can. Says the Rambam, you can't. But just as you can't separate Kedusha out from Kedusha's Aguf, so you can't separate Kedusha out from Kedusha's Domin. And if there is Kedusha in that money, the entire package of money is not tradable. You first have to get the Kedusha out, and then you can trade. But you can't trade when there's Kedusha in, is the way the Rambam knows. So what we learn from this...
Sorry, just to... You're saying that the difference, Rashi, that you could work out was the fact that it was on the male and not on the female, which is why we know that he can also be created to someone else, but he can't in the case of Kedushin. He can
because the example we've given before is he could actually give it to another male, assumedly.
He can't, as the Rambam said, you can't sell it, because then all the money you get for the sale would be also.
He has to be paid for the whole thing.
You've got to be paid at first. So what there's many things that we can learn from here. The whole discussion about separating out the value in guf and what kedusha and value means, and can you separate kedusha, all of that part of it is really interesting. And I'll keep coming back to the opening shiur, the understanding of how Gemara is meant to reprogram your thinking, and we start thinking now about value and kedusha differently. That one can have kedusha and value, and what does it mean to have kedusha and value? And can it be separated? Can't be separated. Can it be traded? Can't be traded. So there's all the actual content of what we're learning that makes one think about these things very differently. And then there's the methodology of Psach Halacha, to watch the Beis Yosef draw our attention to our Machlokes Tur and Rosh that we would have missed just by carefully looking at the difference in the wording. And notice that when the two paraphrases the Rosh, he does it a little bit differently. And the Nafka, and then finding that Nafkamina, the Nafkamina is where the buyer knows, but the price is the same. According to the Rosh, that's okay. According to the two, that's not. And it's the Beis Yosef who highlights that. It doesn't even make much of a difference to the Beis Yosef, because he paskens like the Rambam. So he's only doing that to explain the two. The Beis Yosef is not a Psach Halacha Sefer. The Mechaber's Psach Halacha is Shulchan Aruch. The Beis Yosef is a Perush on the Tur. And that's why you'll find many times that the Vilna Gaon ignores the Beis Yosef, or to some degree ignores the Beis Yosef when he's considering where the Shulchan Aruch's sources are from. Because the purpose, we look at the Beis Yosef and we, most people assume the Beis Yosef is the background to the Shulchan Aruch. That when you look at the Beis Yosef and you'll say, well, now I understand where the Shulchan Aruch gets his psak from. Because you go back to the Beis Yosef and he's explaining, this is where the Gemara is, this is what the Rosh says, this is what the Rambam says, etc., etc. And you can see the whole picture forming. But the shita of the Vilna Gaon is no. The Beis Yosef is simply a perish on the Tur. And in this case, what the Beis Yosef did was explain the origin of the Tur's halacha and where the Tur differs from the origin, from his father, the Rosh. And he's talking about the two. Now it comes to halacha lamaitze. What do I do? Halacha lamaitze, says the Mechaber. My Rebbe has, in this case, it's the Rambam. I go like the Rambam. So this all doesn't bother me. Says the Mechaber, says the Ramo, but we're Ashkenazim. We can't write off the two and the Shulchan Aruch. We have to.
And the Rosh,
we have to go according to that way. Says the Vilna Gaon, so where does the Rosh get it from? And where does this whole machlokes start? In the Gemara's we've learned, there doesn't seem to be a basis for this whole discussion that we've been having. Says the Beis, says the Shulchan Aruch, says the Vilna Gaon, the difference is in how to learn the Gemara at the bottom of Daf Yud and Beis. Do you learn it kapashte, or do you learn it like Rashi? That's the difference between the Tur and the Rosh on the one hand, and the Rambam on the other hand. So one understands how to learn through a sugya with the Rishonim. And when we were talking on Shabbos about the downsides of Daf Yomi with all its many, many, many upsides, the downside is that people who only learn Daf Yomi don't even know that this kind of thing exists.
Hence, I couldn't miss tonight.
and that's the part that is important, is that one understands that in each piece of Gemara, and that's the idea of La'asuki Shmaitz Ali B'Dahal Ilchaseh, to be able to learn Gemara until you get to the halacha, because that brings things to conclusion. That brings things down to a level of this clarity of understanding.
According to Rashi's parush, what does it mean, Ikir Yehuda? So then you could use the Bein Yuvein, because the Gemara is saying that I could find a way that there would be value here. According to Rav Shimon, there's value in general. It's muta.
No, remember the Mishnah said that you can't be Mekadosh Yishuv. So that we're saying that can't be Rabbi Yehuda.
Because if it was Rabbi Shimon, he just let you
no
use
problem.
It.
Right.
If it was Rabbi Yehuda, he would there's let you way. Use. There's a way that you could use it, and that's called Bainu Baini. That's right. The way that he could use it.
Right.
Rashi's parish is that the way that you could use it, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is that he could have taken
Yes, so I'm giving you value that belongs to me. Since I have the power to take that, have the power to take that mice, that pigeon, I gave you something over which, value over which I have control. So yes, there's an Isur Hanor, but I can take that Isur Hanor off at any time. So what I gave you is mine. And it's an incredible concept. It means that although there's the Isur Hanor, you're the balabos of that Isur Hanor. You can take it off at any time.
But only you.
So now the question is, and I'm not 100% sure, when he gives it to her, is he giving her that right as well? Is he, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would he then be saying to her, and I give you that right. I had the right to take that, to do that pigeon. I'm giving you that right.
According to that piece, that's a way that it could work. That he would be able to pass on value. So the parish of the Vilna Gaon in Rashi is explaining how there would be no value because only he can do it. And Vilna Gaon seems to understand that he can't pass on that.
So here's the difference. Here's the difference. If he were to sell it, so I've got this donkey and I sell it to you for full value, that is a problem, according to the Vilna Gaon. And even if I tell you, and even if I reduce the value, I can't, according to the Vilna Gaon,
according to the Rambam,
I can't sell it at all. Until I've actually done pigeon, there's no way that is transferable. To the woman, and you said you're asking good, you're saying, but in the Gemara we see, but to the woman there is a way. Because to the woman, he's not getting the issue there is not he's getting the benefit of the money. He's not selling it to her. She's selling herself to him. He's using it as payment. Isn't that right? He's paying with it. He's not selling it, he's paying with it. And the question with Kiddushin is, are you paying with something that belongs to
something?
You?
Do you have something?
Do you have something that belongs to you? And he says, yes, I have something because I could, at the stroke of a pen or the word of a mouth, I could get $90 worth of this thing.
I could fix this thing.
This is mine, therefore it's mine. This donkey is mine. I choose to keep it Kurdish. And I choose to keep it Kurdish, but I'm giving you is something that's mine. And by giving it to you, I'm losing everything. As Rashi says, Mafsid Kula. I'm giving you, I could have just given away 10 and I would have been left with 90. By giving it to you, I'm left with nothing. So of course I've given you away something that was mine. Now the fact that you can't do very much with it, you can have it in the garden and you can show your friends you've got a donkey.
Good.
Where's my little time sheet goes? Shit,
otherwise I reel at 10:15 and 11. 10:15,
quarter to 11.
11. You'll often find this man.
It's 10:15 and 11.
And your covenant.
And 11.
It's also
and after 11 is B'nai Brak.
And Ariel is the one in Shoshi Hamlin?
Yeah. Actually, I think we're going to maybe, huh? I'll follow up with you this week.
Good. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Elan, I should have asked you to check up with you. That guy who's